It's a bullshit society, but it's the only one we got. It's a bullshit society, but it's the only one we got.
Beautiful of all possible worlds.
Here it is. Here it is. Yes, zeker.
Right here, right
now. Af en toe heb je van die. Als je te veel naar politieke gekinkeltjes luistert.
Heb je nou opeens een andere gitaar of niet?
Hè?
Heb je nou opeens een andere gitaar?
Nee hoor.
Zelfs nog.
Magic shit.
Ik ga er vandoor.
Inge.
Dan heb je hem ook. Hij gaat bent toch altijd in de dinges?
Ja, altijd in de dinges. Veld.
Grondveld.
Ja, ja.
Maar je bent zo meer aan het opnemen. Ben je vriendje aan het ook?
Ja.
Ben je echt haar vriendje?
Nee, ik ben ex.
Oh, ex-vrienden.
Ja, dat is beter.
Maar toch wel hardcore.
Ja.
Ja, zij is wel leuk, hè. Ik zei dat bij zo'n Frederik, een oude film van haar. Een oude film, die zei...
It inside much too long. There's no relief. Carried it around just like a stone. Too heavy for me. I'll pay the price. Standing on the outside, looking in. Stronger, he's going through hell. His mother weeps. His spirit is broken, and there's nothing left. Just a terrible need. And the days are marked by the heaviness of the heart.
Yeah. لك يا وطننا يا غالي تحتجناه أنا بكفية أنا سري أحياني يالي
لالي 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 يعلمنا لالي بالعالي غالي 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 نسرك يا وطننا غالي تحت جناحي أنا بتخيل أنا سوري أحياني يالي
أنا سوري أنا عربي أنا سوري أنا عربي أنا عربي أحياني يالي
I can see your body sway. Thank you. trying to follow your lead. I know every lesson I need from you is worth it.
Yeah. morning the sun was shining. I was laying in bed, wondering if she'd changed at all, if her hair was still red. Her folks, they said our lives together sure was gonna be rough. They never did like mama's homemade dress, papa's bankbook wasn't big enough. And I was standing on the side of the road, rain falling on my shoes, heading out for the East Coast. Lord knows I paid some dues getting through, tangled up in blue. She was married when we first met, soon to be divorced. I helped her out of a jam, I guess, but I used a little too much force. We drove that car as far as we could, abandoned it out west. Split up on the docks at night, both agreeing it was best. And she turned around to look at me as I was walking away. I heard her say over my shoulder, we'll meet again someday on the avenue. Job in the great north woods, working as a cook for a spell, but I never did like it all that much, and one day the axe just fell. So I drifted down to New Orleans, where I lucky with a bee employed, working for a while on a fishing boat right outside of Delacroix. But all the while I was alone, the past was close behind. I seen a lot of women, but she never escaped my mind, and I just grew. Working in a topless place, and I stopped in for a beer. I just kept looking at the side of her face, and the spotlight so clear. Later on, when the crowd thinned out, I was just about to do the same. She was standing there in back of my chair. I said to me, don't I know your name? I murdered something underneath my breath. She studied the lines of my face. I must admit, felt a little uneasy when she bent down to tie the laces of my shoes. Never say hello, she said, you look like a silent type. Then she opened up a book of poems and handed it to me, written by an Italian poet from the 13th century. And every one of them words rang true and glowed like burning coal, pouring off of every page like it was written in my soul. From me to you, Street, the basement down the stairs. There was music in the cafes at night and revolution in the air. Then he started into dealing with slaves and something inside of him died. She had to sell everything she owned and froze up inside. And when it finally the bottom fell out, I became withdrawn. The only thing I knew how to do was to keep on keeping on like a bird that flew. Get to her somehow. All the people we used to know, they're an illusion to me now. Some are mathematicians, some are carpenters' wives. Don't know how it all got started, I don't know what they're doing with their lives. But me, I'm still on the road, heading for another joint. We always did feel the same, we just saw it from a different point.
It's an unusually warm, quiet night in late September. It's been just a few weeks since 9/11, but it's not the 9/11 you're probably thinking of. The original 9/11. The day of Chile's brutal military coup. The coup that cost Salvador Allende his life, and Chile its precious democracy. The coup of 1973. As with the other 9/11, our story starts in New York. And yes, a huge explosion looms large on the horizon. Someone has just phoned the New York Times about a bomb, and it's ticking in the very heart of Manhattan. The target is ITT, a mighty tech giant with links to the CIA and the military. A company almost universally disliked. A company whose Chilean holdings were nationalized by Allende. They hated him for it. And now that he's dead, someone must be taking revenge. But who? Minutes go by, then hours. Perhaps it was just a prank call. Perhaps ITT would not have to pay for its sins in Chile after all. Perhaps they'll get away with it. But then, at 5:40 in the morning, things do take a turn for the worse. Boom! The explosion that shakes Madison Avenue marks a tragic end to Allende's ambitious agenda. His bold efforts to reclaim technology have failed. And Chile paid dearly for his democratic vision. A vision that we're still missing today. And badly so. Welcome to the Santiago Boys, a podcast where technology is politics and politics is technology. I'm Evgeny Morozov, and for the past 2 years, I've been chasing a wild Latin American dream. A tech utopia that helps us deal with our own dystopian present. This is not your typical technology podcast. Rather, it's a tribute to Allende's utopian engineers. I call them the Santiago Boys, who dared to imagine a very different digital future. A future where technology helps democracy, not ruins it. Where big data means solidarity, not surveillance. Forget instruments of repression. The Santiago Boys saw computers as liberty machines. They saw that engineers should transform the world instead of merely trying to control it. And remarkably, they almost did. Until, of course, Allende's enemies put a bloody end to the tech utopia. It's a wild story from more than 50 years ago, and I do know it might get dizzy at times. But I promise you, in the end, it will all make sense. I do know that 9 episodes is a long ride, so let me give you a quick taste of Allende's enemies, but also some of his secret tech weapons. And as far as his enemies are concerned, we don't even have to leave New York. But before we resume our story, you might enjoy knowing that I produced most of this podcast in a very different setting. I've been working like mad in a small town in the south of Italy, in Calabria to be exact. I was surrounded by mountains and forests and some animals. I initially thought it would be a quick job, I'd be here for a few months at most. But it actually turned into a truly quixotic mission. A mission that took me 2 years. And it involved more than 200 interviews and quite a few archival visits. And definitely a lot of false starts and leads. Just to give an idea, I've written at least 11 different versions of the script for this podcast. And what started as popular history of a mysterious cybernetic room in Santiago soon morphed into something so much larger. A tale involving geopolitics, spies, big tech, and of course Salvador Allende. At the beginning, I thought that Allende would be just a minor historical character in this tale. But as I dug deeper, I've understood that the Chilean president is absolutely crucial to understanding everything that you're about to hear. So we jump straight to an important point in Allende's presidency. He realizes he's running out of time. His revolution has stalled. His enemies are plotting against him. What is he supposed to do? It's late 1972, almost 11 months before that explosion. We are at the luxurious Waldorf Astoria Hotel, just blocks from the ITT building. Normally, this place is the playground of the rich and the powerful. But tonight, it's a no-man's land between socialism and capitalism. A place where Allende gets his last chance to mend fences with America. Had this meeting gone differently, The ITT explosion may have never happened.
The meeting took place in a small sitting room on the 26th floor of the hotel at 10:30 p.m. President Allende, speaking through an interpreter, appeared relaxed.
These are the words of George H.W. Bush, and as spoken by an actor. At the time, Bush is the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. In front of him is an avuncular man in his mid-60s. He's wearing horn-rimmed glasses that make him look like a college professor.
The president wore a quasi-Mao jacket. As soon as we sat down, somebody passed out scotch. The president took a scotch on the rocks with a little bit of water.
The Maoist jacket, the scotch, the luxurious hotel. Allende is like this. He's a walking paradox, a bundle of contradictions. Contradictions that could never be reconciled. Sure, he loves the contrast, the evil capitalist and the poor workers, but let's face it, he also loves his oysters and his whiskey and his fancy shirts. And don't forget those famous Chilean delicacies, red wine and empanadas. Both have in fact become the very symbols of his revolution. A revolution that has captivated the world, but has also earned Allende many enemies. And not just in Chile. Allende is in New York to address the United Nations, but trust me, it won't be one of those boring speeches. No, he wants to attack big American companies. He thinks they're bad for Chile. And Washington, as you probably guessed, is not at all thrilled about this speech. So Ambassador Bush is here to talk some good sense into Allende. He must still convince him to change something in tomorrow's speech. There is no need for attacks. America means well.
I said there may have been excesses from time to time, but basically the American people believe deeply in free enterprise and in capitalism and in investment. Not in a selfish sense, but because we felt that it was the best way to provide a better standard of living for all.
This encounter is not a mere shouting match. Driving it is a geopolitical battle for the very meaning of technological autonomy. Should countries like Chile get their technologies from the US? Or should they avoid any such dependencies and build their own? This, at any rate, is what Allende wants. And his utopian engineers can't wait to do this. When we look at the bills that Chile has to pay, they might have a point. All those fees for copyright, licenses, trademarks cost a fortune. So while Bush is here to impede Chile's past technological autonomy, Allende is doing his best to advance it. Now, according to Bush, the meeting ends on a high note.
Allende gave me several very firm handshakes, looked me directly in the eye, seemed to go out of his way to be warm and friendly.
Allende's colleagues remember it differently. When Allende mentions that the CIA may have been trying to topple him, Bush defends the agency. Deeply offended, Allende stands up, thanks Bush for his time, and points to the door. The meeting is over. He won't be changing a single comma in tomorrow's speech. Has he just signed his own death warrant? The following morning, Allende ascends the stage at the United Nations.
Agradezco el alto honor que se me hace al invitarme a ocupar esta tribuna.
Ja, we zijn terechtgekomen in de soundcheck. Soundcheck. In de soundcheck van Patpoeserieus. Je m'entends Dre. Dat over elke enkele minuut begint. En wat zou het heerlijk zijn als mensen ook in de Jitsi zouden komen. Want ik ben er nog alleen. Een programma met actualiteit, activisme, kunst en wie weet informatie en content. Straks op deze zender 88.3 FM. Steve. Sirio. Wow. Kettingzaag gaat maar niet aan. Ik zou zeggen om hem op hoofdhoogte. Op hoofdhoogte zo. Wat dit voor de hele ruimte misschien wel goed is. Er wordt gewoon geventileerd hier. Waterproof Studio 19. Ventilage. Ja, je wilt wel het uiterste, hè, van die kabel. Ja, even een beetje horizontaal. Ja, dat komt helemaal goed. Natuurlijk een heel ander stemprofiel.
Een ander stemprofiel. Ja, jij hoort het al. Ik hoor nog niks hoor. Jij hoort alles hoor. Echt, ja, Bart is een echte radioman hier. Ik blijf praten hier, maar ik heb niks te vertellen. Oh ja, wel. Ik heb nog allemaal avonturen beleefd. Avonturen beleefd. En ik heb een hele droge mond.
Oké, ik heb mijn eigen flesje water. Heb je ook zulks voorbereid? Kijk. En dan kunnen we tappen straks bij de play. Nou, het is bijna zover. Ik hou mijn mond.